A friend of mine in high school had a nice collection of pins he'd wear on his backpack or jacket. Little pieces of flair, you could say, he used to express himself, to start a conversation or just make you laugh. I don't remember a single one of them, except one that sprung to mind this week. It said, "Jesus is coming. Look busy." You're at the market one day buying olives and bread for dinner when you spot a couple of your neighbors talking two stalls down. As you approach them to say hello, you notice they're all whispers. "What's going on?" you ask. "You haven't heard? There's this guy who set up camp outside town along the river. He's talking about a coming Messiah. He's talking about judgment and wrath. He's talking about the need to repent, and he's cleansing people in the river, calling it baptism." "It's all nonsense," another friend says. "Yeah," you say, "probably just another weirdo." And with that, everyone goes home. But you can't quite shake it, you know? I mean, it wouldn't hurt to check him out, right? So the next day, after dropping the kids off at your parents, you take the long walk out of town. When you get to the river, you're shocked by the number of people. A conveyor belt of people just filing into the river. Even your skeptical neighbor is there, but you pretend not to see each other. When you get a look at John, the guy doing this baptizing, you think, "Nope, not quite sure how this guy giving me a bath is going to make you clean." But then you hear him out. He's talking about the need to repent. He's talking about a big change in the world coming and how we better be ready. He isn't really convincing, to be truthful, but he is terrifying. You think about just leaving and going home, but what the heck? Better safe than sorry, right? Plus, you like the idea of feeling forgiven and clean, like you get a clean slate. It won't take but a few minutes, and you can be home by dinner anyway, so you get in line to be baptized. But of course, before your turn comes, John decides to take a break. He gets up on a rock on the shore and out of nowhere starts screaming at everyone. These people who came to hear him and be baptized by him, he screams at them, at you. What gives? The water drips from his scraggly beard, and he's so angry that his words are starting to blend together. But you get the gist. "You brood of vipers," he screams. "Who warned you to flee the wrath to come? You come here thinking that you can just be cleansed of your sins and then go home, all good to go. You think that's what I'm doing here? You think the point of this is for you to feel better and then return to normal life? You haven't repented. You haven't changed your heart. You're the same. Nothing's different with you." "Oh, but we have Abraham," you say. God can raise up descendants to Abraham out of these rocks here. Abraham was a gift to you, a calling to be something more, and you use him as an excuse, as justification for your own pitiful lies, for your own lack of mercy and kindness. The axe lies at the root of the tree, and you seek to escape it. The wrath, the judgment, the suffering that is your own making. You don't seek to change any of that, just escape it. A stunned silence falls over the crowd. Kind of like that. No one is quite sure what to do next. So finally, some brave person just asks, "Okay, John, what should we do then?" "I called you here to repent," he says. "A clean slate, yes, but not for its own sake. A change of heart, yes, but a real one. The point of it all is justice. Justice in a world that's seen so little of it. You there, is that your only coat? No? Well, then give it to someone who doesn't have one. Likewise, you with the food. Can't you see the woman next to you is hungry? How can you come out of this water and then not give her something to eat? Bear fruits worthy of what is happening here. This baptism I offer, it's for the sake of the world, not just your sake. It's a start, not an end. Be merciful, be kind, be just." Another awkward silence falls over the crowd as John fumes at the mouth. And then the line to get in the water miraculously just evaporates, and everyone turns back. You stand there unsure of what to do next. It's not that John is wrong. In fact, you know deep down that he's probably right. Not only about justice either. You know he's probably right about you too. About why you came here. Sort of, at least. It's true, you came and stood in line to feel clean, forgiven, to feel like you have a fresh start, and then return to your normal life without any real change. But it's not because you're lazy or bad. Well, maybe a little. More, it's because you just don't see the point of it all. You could try and try, but you know you'll keep messing up. And even if you do change, if you do give that coat away, there's going to be another dozen people who still need a coat. It feels impossible. So you just don't. And that makes you feel bad, so you do try to do just enough to not feel bad. And you were kind of hoping this baptism thing could help with that, you know, that it could be just enough to not feel bad. But apparently not. So you join all the others who have started to return back towards Jerusalem, leaving John behind, still panting from all the yelling. And just as you and the rest have gone far enough that you can no longer really hear John yelling, you see someone walking in the opposite direction, towards the river. A latecomer, you think to yourself. Boy, is he in for a rude awakening. It's funny, though. He sort of looks like John, this guy. Looks like they could be cousins. Jesus is coming, the pin said. Look busy. One of the real head-scratchers, I think, with Jesus is this whole baptism story. Uh-oh. This whole baptism story. I mean, why did he get baptized? Especially this baptism of repentance. Shouldn't Jesus be above all that? I'm not the only one who feels uncomfortable with this whole thing, by the way. In Matthew's telling of the story, John tries to resist Jesus. And in the telling we just read, Luke adds the actual baptism on the end of the story, trying almost to let us just skim over it, you know? But it's kind of hard to skim over something that results in God tearing open heaven and speaking. So what does it mean that Jesus was baptized? Did he need to be? Did something change in him when he was baptized? Honestly, I don't know. I don't know if Jesus needed to be baptized. I don't know why he was baptized. I don't know if he knew what was going on. I don't know if God declaring him to be the beloved Son made it so in some sense, or just recognized the truth that was already there. I don't know. Here's what I do know. John was baptizing people. And like the prophets of old, he did so hoping against hope that it might actually make a difference. That people's hearts would change, if not from the experience of the water, then from his hellfire and brimstone sermon. He hoped their hearts would be changed because he saw injustice everywhere. To use language of our day, he saw income inequality in the elite of one place depending on the poverty of another. He saw people oppressed, but he didn't see a lot of heartbreak over it. So he was hoping that this baptism could be the start of something. He knew God was coming among them, and he was hoping there could be a movement that could get this new justice off the ground to sort of pave the way for God. But the people being baptized didn't see it that way, and this broke John's heart. They were looking for a way to achieve the minimum required of them in order to be found blameless or good enough. Baptism wasn't a start for them at all. And then Jesus comes along and is baptized. I don't know why. I don't know why someone like him would have needed it, but he comes anyway. And for Jesus, it is a start. I forgot to mention this earlier, but 30 years have passed since last week's reading and this week's story. Jesus grows from a baby to a child to a teenager to a man, and we know almost nothing of what happened in that time. And then he gets started. He gets started doing all the Jesus-y stuff we usually think of, teaching and healing and traveling and bugging the snot out of the powerful and giving hope to the powerless. After 30 years, Jesus gets started. And he gets started by being baptized. So I don't know if he needed to be baptized or if something happened to him that day. But I do think that it's just plain awesome that he was baptized by John. I think it's awesome that as everyone else might have been leaving the river, unwilling or unable to bear fruits the way John had wanted them to, unable or unwilling to be part of this new start, as they walked away, just as I probably would have, Jesus came to the river. He was baptized into this thing that focused on hearts being turned and life being given for the sake of the world, for the sake of love, for the sake of justice. Jesus came and was baptized, which was the start of something, the start of God coming into our world in a new way. In this new year, you could hear John's criticisms, his screams and hollers and harsh words. You could hear it all as a New Year's resolution, as a call to action, a call to really make a fresh start, you know? You could be emboldened to really be the kind of person you always knew you should be. That'd be great. Or you could hear his words as an indictment against the ways we always try to find some Abraham to lean on instead of getting around to actually following Christ. You could be brought down for seeing Jesus coming and just looking busy. That'd also be great, but less fulfilling. You could also hear John's hollers as pointing to God, a way of saying, look what's about to happen. God is coming among us. God is doing something new. I wonder what it will be. I wonder if we could be part of it. I wonder if life might be different now. So be emboldened. Be brought down. But whatever else, let your eyes be opened to see this God coming into our world, coming among us. This God coming among us determined not just to change our hearts or change our ways, but change the world. Amen.